Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Subject today is wickedness and deliverance, or we could also call it wickedness and grace. Our Bible text is from Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It says, Moses answered to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more."
Amen.
Never see again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There is a thing, there are things that do not work together. Light and darkness doesn't work together. You can't have darkness and light at the same place. Either you have the one or the other. Cold and hot is another one. You cannot have it together. Black and white, you cannot have together. You cannot be wise and foolish at the same time. Yes, you can be intelligent, but being intelligent does not make you wise. I once had the revelation when I was with young people. I always thought I looked at myself as being young, and suddenly I realized they look at me as not young, as old. And so I understood, you cannot be young and old at the same time. You cannot mix good and evil. You cannot mix Satan and God. The question that remains is, why is there so much evil, so much wickedness in this world? We must have an understanding of the two worlds. As we studied the book of Revelation and angelology, we saw that things are happening in the spiritual and the physical at the same time, parallel. Physical and spiritual, heaven and the physical world. In the earliest ages, God had created the angels. They were perfect and they were good. Lucifer was the most excelling of all the angels until he became proud. When he wanted to be like God, he lost his beauty and became Satan. Since that time, there is war in heaven. Satan fought and is still fighting against God. He thinks he can overcome God and excel himself. But Satan is a deceiver, and he's even deceiving himself. He thinks he can make God fail. He thinks he can win the war against God. He knows many things. He's intelligent, but he's not wise. If he was, he wouldn't do many things that he's doing. So where does evil come from? It comes from the ambition to get more than you are entitled to. Thinking that you are someone that you are not. That is pride. Pride was the downfall of Satan. He wanted to be like God, something that he was not and would never be. There is only one God, and you cannot have two gods. Jehovah is God, and all other gods are idols, evil spirits. Since war is going on in heaven, the same war is going on earth. God had created man in perfection. absolutely perfect. He was communing with man on a daily basis. He was talking to Adam, to Eve, every day. He gave him one command, only one command: don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All the other trees you can eat. So it was a simple command, because there were thousands of trees that they could eat different fruit every day. Traditionally, people talk about the forbidden apple, but the Bible doesn't say it was an apple. Maybe it was a mango, maybe it was a kiwi. We don't know. It doesn't matter. But Satan deceived Eve to eat from that fruit, which God said, don't touch it. Eve also gave to her husband, to Adam. Now Adam was ahead, and he gave in to his wife's delusion. God spoke to Adam, not to Eve. Therefore, Adam should have stopped that evil straight away, and certainly he should not have listened to his wife. Not stopping evil. If you don't stop evil, the root will grow and get worse. Adam's son, Cain, killed his brother, Abel. It was jealousy towards his brother that caused this murder. The sin of man has grown throughout history and is getting worse and worse to the mass destruction what they have today. Now Solomon was a wisest person of his time. He was enormously rich. He received from God whatever he dreamed of, everything he got. In spite of his wealth and wisdom, he was totally unwise when it concerned his wives and idols. He, the one who built the temple of God, to whom God had spoken two times, now build temples for idols of his wives. He, the favorite of God, became the enemy of God. As a result, his kingdom, at his death, his kingdom was split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Now the new king of Israel, he knew all that. He knew that all this trouble happened because Solomon was worshipping idols. What did he do? He made idols himself. He made gods for himself, idols that have no life in them. He offered to them and honored those evil spirit idols. Knowledge alone does not protect you from doing evil. In Luke chapter 11, verse 39, then the Lord said to him, "Know then, you Pharisees, clear the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." Jesus was condemning the outward lip service. What God wants is worship in spirit and in truth. Now you might say, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not a Pharisee. Now really? Check your own life. There are people, they shine, they glitter, they smile, and their perfume you can smell 1 kilometer away. And people think they are really nice people. Really nice person. But when they come home, they deposit their glitter, their shine, their smile at the doorpost in front of their house. As soon as they enter, they are not the very nice person anymore. They shout at the partner, they ridicule, they make life at home a hell. On Sunday, they go out of the house, put on the glitter, put on the shine, put on the perfume. They go to the church, they shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. Do you think I'm making up this story? This happens, and it's no better than what the Pharisees did. It's wickedness before God. Don't put the blame on the devil, for evil is in your life. Everyone has a free will to choose right or wrong. There are Christians who think they don't need a pastor, they don't need a church. So they stop attending the church, and that is the first step of backsliding. Sooner or later, they have no time to read the Bible. They say, oh, tomorrow I will read. But you know, tomorrow never comes. In the end, they forget it. The same thing happens with prayer. They eventually forget everything that the Bible is telling. When somebody challenges them, they turn around and mock. There are people, they block me on their phones because they don't want me to tell them the truth. In the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When someone thinks they don't need the pastor anymore, they take themselves from the protection that the pastor gives them. Then the enemy has easy game. He will devour the person who is thinking that he knows himself what is good for him. Some of those backslidden Christians, they turned their back on Christ and turned to worthless religions. They refused the grace of God and crucified Jesus again. Worshipping idols, dead idols and false God, they worship even job and money. They worship whatever is wrong. The fate is clear. The end is in a lake of fire. I know Christians, even leaders, who have backslidden. They preach the gospel until the time of their retirement, but their gospel was dead because these preachers were dead inside. I know Christians, they turned to worthless religions and ridiculed all other Christians. There are Christians who have no love, no mercy. They don't know that. Their teaching is legalistic and condemnation, unmerciful. And they expect every Christian should be as legalistic as they are. But they have no love. And where there is no love, there is no Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. It is the grace of God that has saved us and made us what we are. We are, there is war in the spiritual world. The devil is fighting to make people not get saved, to get lost. The flesh is leading humans into sin. If you're not a hardened sinner, there is hope for you. For it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God." God has given us the grace to have faith. You cannot work out your salvation. You cannot do any work that will benefit you in your spiritual life. You can go to churches and light candles, but that won't do anything for you. It's by faith. Faith is different from belief or hope. I hope I will find some money on the street. That has nothing to do with faith. It's a hope. It can happen, but usually it doesn't. Or somebody says, "I believe in your help. I believe that things will turn around." But faith is different. Most people believe it's important to eat healthy food and to exercise regularly, but very few people eat healthy food and exercise regularly. They believe in a certain set of facts is true, but they have not committed themselves to the implication of that those facts. They have belief, but not faith. Biblical faith is simply giving asset, is not simply giving asset to a certain set of facts. Biblical faith is trust and commitment to the results in a and it will result in a change of behavior. James chapter 2 verse 19 puts it this way: "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder." The believe demons, they believe that God exists. They may know about God maybe more than you do, but they have no faith. Unfortunately, many people, they have the faith, the same belief that the demons have, but they have not faith, and so it is not sufficient for their salvation. When we talk about faith, everybody in church rejoices, "Oh, great, I agree. But when trouble comes, fear grips believers. We saw that with the corona, how people were afraid. John wrote, chapter 1 John 4:4, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." I quote this verse countless times over the years. Then when corona hit, many got afraid. Fear took hold of the world. I believe the one in me is greater. Amen. He's greater than anything else. So why should I be afraid? I believe that no sickness can come against me. Mm-hmm. No sick person can affect me. Because God is greater than anything else. And he lives in me. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I had to transport sick people with a taxi and I was not afraid. I kept the church open when other churches closed. If I really have faith in the Greater One, then nothing, absolutely nothing, can harm me. If I would get sick and die, I know where I would go. I will go to heaven. Praise the Lord. It would be even nicer than here. So nothing and nobody and no sickness, no lack of money, nothing can frighten me, because the Greater One lives in me.
Amen.
The Greater One will protect me from evil.
Amen.
The Greater One can supply all my financial needs.
Amen.
We know who is in the world, who is ruling the world. But nothing in this world can supply my needs and protect me from sickness. Nothing in this world. But Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, and my God will supply all your needs. Listen to this. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If you still wonder whether the Greater One who is in you will supply all your needs, then we read from Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Everything belongs to him, so he can give to whoever he wants. God promised this when he spoke to Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. What a word God is giving to us. He will supply all our needs. He will not forget us. The grace and the love of God is beyond limits. Even if people desert him, he still loves them. When the wicked returns to him, he receives them. As this wonderful God is a greater one in me, why should I be afraid? Our opening verse was in Exodus 14:13. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. All we have to do is to stand firm. Do not be bent by the wind. Do not be bent by deceptions. If we stand firm, we shall see the deliverance of the Lord. The Egyptians were pursuing the Israelites, and they were in great danger of being killed or being enslaved again. They couldn't turn left or right. They couldn't go forward or backward. But God said, be still. Just relax, be still. Don't be frightened when that happens to you. Be firm. Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 4, verse 17, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I read it again. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God makes something out of nothing. God created the world out of nothing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you see no deliverance in your situation, remember God calls things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, do not be frightened. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians that you fear now, you'll never see them again. The protection the trouble, the problems, the troubles, the sickness, the imprisonment, you will never see again. Stand firm in the Lord. Trust in Him with all your heart. Trust in God, the one who is in you. Do not be moved by anything or anybody. Whatever happens around you, let it not affect you. Only be still and be not afraid. Then the enemy of your life, you will never see again. The enemy will be drowned, and you will see the dead bodies at the shore of the sea. Turn from every wickedness. Command the devil to leave your life. Command the devil to leave your body. No sickness can come. Command the devil to leave your pocket so that money can come in. So chase the devil away and command him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, nothing can happen. And see a deliverance that he wants to bring to you. Mm-hmm. Nothing shall move you. Nothing shall break you. Mm-hmm. Nothing shall hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you trust in the Lord, in Jesus Christ alone. And you will see that what he promised in his word, he will keep. He will supply your need. He will make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no money in your pocket, next time you go in your pocket with your hand, it's full.
Mm-hmm.
He can do that. And so you trust in the Lord. The enemies will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And he will bring you deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.